This is Victory House.
I want you to say a prayer before I go into the Word of God this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. The Bible says, "But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you power to get wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that giveth you power to get wealth." Can I tell you this? There is power to get wealth. And God gives power to get wealth. I want you to stand up and I want you to raise up your right hand. Because we can say all the principles about money, but there is a power to get wealth. There is something that makes you a magnet that magnetizes money. There is something that can come upon you that anything you touch will prosper. The Bible said God blessed Abraham. God put something on Abraham that attracted something to him. You are going to say loud and clear and you turn it into a prayer. Say, "Father, I declare I receive power to get wealth in this season. In Jesus' name." Make it your prayer, "Father, in the name of Jesus. In this season of talking about wealth, we understand that your kingdom has to advance by wealth. Your kingdom has need of things to be done. And Lord, we want to be your financier. We receive power in the name of Jesus. In this set of teaching, we receive power to get wealth. In the name of Jesus, we receive power to get wealth. And your name is glorified in our life. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. Father, through your word this morning, let power land on us. And let's be money magnets. Let wealth be coming to us a little more easier than we have experienced in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Jesus' precious name we are praying. Okay, you may please be seated. So, I want to talk about, in just 2 weeks, we'll see how much we can cover, to talk about money matters. Money matters. There are very few things that preoccupy people like money. In fact, people have said that there are almost two things that many people think about a lot: money and sometimes sex. And money seemingly is the highest. You know, people sometimes get angry when church talks about money. But that's what they are thinking about. There are people that what they are doing today is because of money. What they are not even doing today is because of money. There are some people that God has given an idea, and the reason they have not pursued that idea is not because they don't know that idea is from God. It's because of money. There are people that go to jobs that they don't like. They talk to boss that they don't like. They do every other thing that they don't like, and the reason is because of money. And can I tell you this? Many other times, our education, our going to school sometimes does not prepare us to maximize and utilize money. Many people just walk with some form of assumption about money and they are not enjoying the best of God. But I'm believing God that in this season, your story will change in the name of Jesus. In Luke chapter 14, I'm going to start from there this morning. Luke chapter 14. I'll read from verse 28 to 32. Luke 14, 28 to 32. And in my, for today's message, under this money matters, I will call it exit strategy. Exit strategy. Luke chapter 14, 28 to 32. You can follow the version online on the screen, but I'm going to read another version. The Message translation. And it goes like this. "Is there anyone here who, planning to build a new house, doesn't first sit down and figure the cost so you will know if you can complete it? If you only get the foundation laid and then run out of money, you are going to look pretty foolish. Everyone passing by will poke fun at you. He started something he couldn't finish. Or can you imagine a king going into battle against another king without first deciding whether it is possible with his 10,000 troops to face the 20,000 troops of the other? And if he decides he can, won't he send an emissary and work out a truce? So scripture is telling us here that anybody, any normal person that wants to build a house will not first start the building from putting bricks together. Usually they will start from some form of planning, some form of preparation, some form of getting ready. And he said that that's how every normal house is being built. And the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 that we are lively stones, we are living stones, we are being built too as a spiritual house. So you and I are also, we are also some form of house in ourselves, some form of building in ourselves. And so if we are like a building, we, our lives may also benefit from this scripture, Luke chapter 14, that says that anybody that wants to first build a house must first do some counting the cost, must first do some checking out the cost. Now, I need to say some things to you about money before we dive into what we need to talk about today. I believe some people, their understanding of money, they have a mystical or myth about money. There is a myth. Their understanding of money is that money is a myth. And by definition, a myth is something, is an unfounded conviction. There is no basis. Many things that people have about money are just assumption. Many information people think they know about money are just assumption. There is no basis for it. It is something you heard somebody saying, or something you have just come to understand and you have believed it, whether it's true or not. So there are many people whose understanding and relationship with money is like a myth. Money is a myth. Sometimes you hear them saying something like this. It is hard to get money. And that hard meaning that it's almost impossible to get money. You know? And there are popular sayings like that. Sometimes you hear people say something like this. I just know I will make it. And that is not confession of faith. That is not anything. It's just, ki sera sera. What's going to be will be. I just know somehow, somewhere. That's some way some people have attitude to money. It's almost a lottery kind of system. It will just happen. It's hit or miss. But that's not the attitude God wants you to have to money. In fact, I heard somebody say some time ago, he said, the lowest level of knowledge is assumption. And many people, that is where they are. Their knowledge about money is assumptions. It's assumptions. They are just assuming. They're assuming that things will work out. They're assuming that things may not work out. There's just assumption, but that's not where God wants you to be. There's another relationship with money that I want to inform you about this morning, and that's mystery. So there's myth, then there's mystery. A mystery is a secret. It's a secret, especially a secret that you don't know now. Now, some people have an understanding that there are secrets to money, but it cannot be known. There are secrets out there. There are some of these people that are making money. They have a secret, but we all don't know about it. So some people, that's their attitude to money. They believe that it's a mystery. It's an unknown secret. We cannot know it. But the Bible makes us to understand in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 11. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 11. It says, unto you and unto me, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So if there are secrets about money, God wants you to know it. If you're a child of God, God is interested that you do well. When I was growing up as a little kid, I grew up in church. My parents were church people. I used to see a lot of people. And one of the reasons why I decided as a young boy that I won't be doing this church thing is because I saw people who seemingly, it seems their relationship with God didn't change their life. In fact, it felt like the saying that as poor as a church rat is true for them. You know, you've heard those kind of words before. This is, you know, as poor as a church rat. Some people are like that. You know, so, and then I used to feel to myself that it's not worth this old God thing. Maybe they are just deceiving themselves. You know, people come together, they just shout, 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 pray, pray, pray. Nothing is changing.
And some of the reasons why things are not changing for people is that when they come to God, when they come to church, when they hear the word of God, they just think of it and receive it as mystery. They don't get the meaning behind the mystery. And God says in this scripture that we are looking at, Matthew chapter 13 and verse 11, he says, it is given unto you to know the mysteries of God. I want you to say this out loud. Say in the name of Jesus, I know the mysteries of God. I know the secrets of making money in the name of Jesus. So that's an attitude. There are some people who also understand money to be a means. So there's myth, there's mystery, and then there's means. They understand money to be something as a vehicle or a tool that you can use. It's a channel to an end. Money can be a tool. Money can be a vehicle. It can help you make things happen. And that's the right thing to know. That's a good way to view money. To look at it as a means. To look at it as something that God can use. When I was young too, like I was saying, there was a time they started, you know, not all the time preach it, but there was kind of unsaid things in our circle then, because we were more of this, if you grew up in Africa or Nigeria to be precise, we're more of this SU. That's what they call Redeemed Christian Church of God then, you know. It was almost like we are not of this world. We are just passing through, and our home is heaven. And so every other thing about us must not look too good. We are just focused on heaven, you know. And we didn't understand that money is a means. Money doesn't have any character of its own. Money can be godly if it is in the hand of a godly person. Money can be evil if it is in the hand of an evil person. So money is not necessarily godly or evil. Amen? Because that around that time, too, people would say something like, the love of money is the root of evil, of all evil. No, they won't even say the love of money. They will say money is the root of evil. But money is not the root of evil. Because the scripture they usually quote then is 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. Let's look at it. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. Thank you. I guess now we are kind of entering summer, right? All right. The Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Not what it does not say. It does not say money is the root of evil. The love of money is the root of. So when people misunderstand money as a means, then money becomes something else. When people don't understand that money is supposed to be a channel, it's supposed to lead you to something, it's supposed to be used as a vehicle, as a slave, then it becomes an issue. So that's why I came up with this last relationship that I believe people should have to money. Not just that money is a means, but you must have mastery. You must have mastery. Mastery speaks of the know-how. Mastery speaks of how to use it. And I think this is the major issue with the people of God. Many of us may understand money as a means, but we don't have mastery. We are not a master of. You see, money is a good slave, but a bad master. You want to be the master of it. In fact, when Jesus was speaking in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Jesus said that nobody can serve God and serve money at the same time. You either choose to serve God or you choose to serve money. So God wants you and I to have mastery. He wants us to know. He doesn't just want you to just come to church, shout hallelujah, and all of that kind of thing. And sometimes you hear the man of God say, give and it shall be given unto you. But you see, it goes a little beyond that, because the way God gives to us is very interesting. Many other times, God will not give to you and put money in your pocket. You are not going to say, God, I need money because I've given money in church today. And then you go to your bank account, suddenly there are several zeros to the balance that you had before. That's not how it works. There's a way God gives to us. And if you don't master money, the way God wants to give to you, you'll not be able to access it. You'll not be able to use it. You'll not be able to maximize it. So God wants us to master money. He wants us to know the how. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 15. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 15. The Bible says, the labor of the weary wearieth all of them, because he does not know how to go to the city. That means it is possible to work and your work does not show if you don't know how. That means it is possible to apply effort and effort will not bring results if you don't know how. That means it is possible to be very busy and your busyness does not show. That means it is possible to walk like an elephant, but the result will look like the result of an ant. But I pray in the name of Jesus, every area that you have been working, that the result has been not commensurate with the effort, I declare a change in the name of Jesus. Everything that you have been doing before now, that the result has not been better than the effort, I declare a change in the name of Jesus. In fact, I am praying that God will compensate you for labor of the past, for work of the past, for things that you have done in the past, and you have not been adequately compensated. I thought somebody would say a bigger amen. Amen. So God wants you and I to have mastery. He wants us to know. He doesn't just want us to be ignorant. Because the Bible makes us understand, in Hosea chapter 4, it says, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. Some people think because I am a child of God, automatically some things will happen. No, you can be a child of God and you can still be poor. You can be a child of God and you can still suffer. There are many things Jesus has paid for, among which is for you to be wealthy. When I was doing seminary, they used to castigate people like me, that I'm talking about money now in the church service, that we are health and wealth gospel. And in my mind, I'm like, do you want poverty gospel? Because some people, they fight people that talk about money. They say, why are they talking about money in church? The focus is on money. But is the focus on being broke? These same people that are saying money, you don't know about being broke. You need to come and see people that are broke. You need to come to some part of Africa and see some really broke people and then tell them that this gospel will not make them rich. But I tell you that in the name of Jesus, the God of abundance will visit you. You will have more than enough in the name of Jesus. So God wants us to have mastery. He wants us to be in charge. He wants us to know. Because there are people that don't know Jesus, our Jesus, but know the principles of our Jesus and are doing better than people that know the Jesus. Because you see, when it comes to Jesus, there is the person of Jesus and there are principles of Jesus. There are people that follow the person of Jesus, they will get to heaven. There are people that follow the principle of Jesus, they will leave heaven on earth. The people, many people, when they come to church, they just focus on the person, but they forget the principle. And when you focus on the principle and the person, you will gain mastery here on earth, and you will still be valuable there after this earth. And I pray for somebody listening to me this morning that your story and your experience will be that you have the person and the principle in the name of Jesus. Now, let me say some truth about money, and then I'll start drilling down to what I really want to talk about this morning. Money is not really paper. Money is not paper. Many times when we start talking about money, people start seeing bills in their head. I mean, notes, $100 bill, $20 bill, and all of that. That's not money. Because if you bring a $20 bill now, you read it, what is written on it is something like this. I'm not saying verbatim, but something like this, that this is like a promissory note to pay the person that we tender this to the value of this money. So money essentially is value. Money essentially is value. So money is a result of value added. I needed to say that before we start this our discussion, that money is not paper. Money is not some balance in your bank account. Real money is value. So that means that when somebody wants to have more money, when somebody needs more money, he should not be thinking of paper. He should not be thinking of zeros. He should be thinking of value. He should be thinking of value. And because value is the demander, using that word, I know it may not be an English word, but money is value is the demander that makes the currency to flow. You know, money is called currency, right? So that means it flows. But currency flows in the direction of demand, and the demand is value. It's value. So if you go render a job for somebody, you are working for somebody 8 to 5 or whatever time you are working, you are really giving that person your time, and that time you are giving it in form of value. And the more value you are able to supply, the more you can get money. And that's why many times when people are broke and they are just looking for just more time to work and not really thinking in terms of value, they don't increase in money. They just increase in stress. They increase in how much time they work, but they may not necessarily increase in money. So I put it here. I say, where there is no value, money will be in short supply. Where there is no value. I mean, some of us in this room were from Africa. And you know that Africa is very naturally resourced. There's a lot of natural resources. In fact, very close to much more than 50% of the earth's resources is in what they call the third world countries. So why is it that these third world countries, or these countries that have so many human resources, why is it that they are still broke or they are still poor? Value. Because they have the resources, but they have not been able to add value to those resources so that those resources now we can bring money. So the resources are used in their raw state. The resources are sold in their raw state to the first world country. The first world country processes these raw resources and send it back as value or as something much more than the raw material. And the third world countries will pay the first world country because money is value. So where there is no value, money will be in short supply. So if you and I want to increase our finances, we need to do what the Bible admonishes us in this Luke chapter 14 that we have read. The Bible said, anybody planning to build a house, and I said that we are a house, you and I are a house, we are a building of God, we are a project of God, and you and I, if you want your life to be built, if you want this project of God to advance, there is something we need to do. The Bible says we need to plan. We need to plan. We need to have what I call an exit strategy. We need to have some form of preparation, because money really comes in the direction of preparation. If you prepare and you prepare to be valuable, you prepare to be able to add value, you will start finding that money will come in your direction. So the plan that you and I need to have largely should be a plan to know how. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 15 says, their labor can weary them because they don't know how. So if you and I want to build our lives, we want to have some financial clout and be able to do the things we want to do for our family, the things we want to do for God, you and I need to have plan. And a major part of that our plan is a plan to know. It's a plan to know. There are many people listening in this room today that have never attempted to know how they can extend the dollar. I don't know if it was here that Reverend George mentioned it, that nobody can be really rich if they are working for somebody else. Was he here? So that means that every one of us must be looking for ways how our money will begin to work for us. But you cannot just be lazy and think that way will just jump at you. Because there are many ways that God may want to do that. Because sometimes when God releases the blessing like this, he releases capacity and it makes you a magnet to be able to attract some of these opportunities. Several years ago, I've said this story here before. I came into the general overseer's house. You know, I know them personally. So I went to the general overseer's house, Pastor E. Adeboye. I went to their house and I was supposed to see one of his sons. I mean, he's my friend. So I was waiting, and then he came. Then he saw me. Then he said, hey, what are you doing here? Because before that time, I had sent him, was it a mail? I'm not sure. I notified his office
or somebody around him that I was traveling, you know, and said a bunch of things. So he saw me, he said, "What are you doing there? I thought you said you were traveling to the United States." I said, "Yes, sir, but I need money." I was very excited that, I mean, this man sees me and he's asking me, God has answered my prayer. So he looked at me and said, "Oh, okay." So he said, "Well, so when am I going to the embassy for interview and all of that?" I told him. Then he smiled. I said, "Oh, okay. Just let me know when you're going to the embassy. I'd like to give you my bank statement." I was getting excited. "I'd like to give you my bank statement because I want them to know that you know somebody here." I said, "Good, good." He said, "But I won't give you the money inside." He said, "I won't give you the money." I felt like, really? I thought you were going to what that place and say, "How much is the school?" Because I was coming to school. "So how much is the school fees, you know, in dollars or in the currency of that country?" Then he said something that it took me a while to get. He said, "But before you go to the embassy, the money you need for the school will be there in your account." I said amen, because that's the next thing to do, right? But it was an amen of like, "Are you kidding me? I want to go to school. This is January. The appointment is for June. I need to be in the United States for like about around July. So this is January. And then I see a man that I believe can help me, who can probably pay the fees. Even if he can't pay, if he tells one or two people, they will pay it for me, you know? And he's telling me that he will give me a paper. I will show the people that there's money somewhere, but he won't give me the money, but he believes the money will be there." I mean, I was like, "Please tell me something else." Well, I left his presence, but I didn't quite forget that. Shortly after that, God arranged something that happened. I got into a meeting, and before I knew what was happening, I was part of this, what they were doing. It was a business idea and all of that kind of thing. I was supposed to see somebody there, and then they just got me into the business idea. Long story short, before I stood before the consular officer when I had the interview, I didn't even need his statement. In fact, I didn't take his own bank statement there. I took mine, because the balance was good enough. Was good enough. Because he spoke the word, but much more than speaking the word, that word had to become something, right? They need to be, it was not magic. I had to do some work, but because the word had been spoken, what I now did made sense. Can I get an amen to that? So I'm believing that what happened last week has done something for us. That when we organize around what has been done for us, we'll start attracting some resources. If that's you, will you say a bigger amen? Amen. So the Bible, God wants you to know how. There's how. There's how. There is how to earn money. There is how to expand that money that you have earned. I personally believe that there is no income level that you can't succeed on. Yeah, I've said the story to you here before, that when I was working some time ago, I used to have some colleagues, they were like drivers and all of that. And most of those guys had houses. Many of us that were engineers and that were earning more than them, we didn't even have land in our name. We didn't have anything. And the reason we did not have is not because we didn't earn money, but we didn't know how to expand and extend that money. They were earning less than we were earning, but they were doing more with what they were earning than we were doing more with it. And so there are many people listening to me this morning. Some have been saying, "Well, if I start making so and so, if I start doing that and that," you are not going to now use that money then. I've discovered that what you don't do now, you may not do later. If you are believing that you'll be giving so and so later on, if you are not giving it now or some measure, some level now, you will not do it in the future. Some people will say, "Well, when I start earning X amount of money, I will start saving." If you don't save on whatever you are earning today, you will not save tomorrow. If you don't give tithe, you don't give offering on what you are earning that is not enough now, you will not give when it's so-called enough. Because there's something that happens to money. Money has a way that no matter the amount that comes in, there will be something to spend it on. Especially if you have not managed, you have not learned how to manage money well. So I believe God will want us to
plan largely on learning to know. He wants us to learn to know. And there are many abundance of places where you can know. The first place is from the Word of God, where you can learn how to earn. First place is from the Word of God. We can receive wisdom from the Word of God. We can receive wisdom from books. We can receive wisdom from books. There are so many people that are not making any financial education effort. So you start working at ABC company. Then you just stay there until something else happens. But what about as you are working in ABC company, you are learning how what you are getting from ABC company, you can use it. Because can I tell you the truth? There are business ideas. There are people, for example, that I just got to find out that all they do is just record for YouTube. Do you know people live on that? There are people, all they do, and it's not sophisticated camera or any phone. They will just record, they will use their phone to record. They call themselves YouTube blogger. Some of these guys, I was listening to one of the documentaries on Netflix. Some of these guys are making millions from recording video. And sometimes the video they are even recording is not about themselves or anything. They are doing product review. There's a product, they'll just review it and they'll be playing. There's one TV something that my YouTube stuff that my kids watch. Ryan. You've heard about Ryan? He's a young boy that the parents use him to review toys and all of that kind of thing. I mean, and there are millions of you. In fact, one time I went to research and I found out that if you start getting up to like 1 million views, you have already started getting into the thousands of cash that they send to you. So that boy, you need to watch some of those videos. Sometimes when my kids are watching, I'm like, what is, I know I like documentary and those kind of things, but this one is so boring. But people are watching it. And I don't know what the parents do now, but I bet that will be a big major source of income for them. So what am I saying today? I'm saying there are areas that you can earn from, but you need to learn. So where can you learn? You can learn from books. You can learn from websites. I know many of us, we have phones. And what we do with our phones is we go to Facebook. There's nothing wrong with that. But do you know that even from that, your phone, there are places on YouTube that you can learn about how to do stuff. How can I learn about fixing phones? How can I learn about doing this? Because some of us are students, and you feel that because I'm a student, I don't have time. No, as a student, you can learn some things that can earn you money. The first major money I got from working was doing a website. I later learned how to do websites in school, you know, as part of my degree. But at that time, I didn't learn. We had not gotten there. One night, I went to visit a friend, and he told me he was reading this HTML book. And then the boy gave me the book. I took the book home. For some reason, I couldn't sleep. I read through some things. I fixed some things from what I was reading. And based on that, I got a contract, because the next day, I told somebody I can make a website. And then before you knew it, I packaged something together and I worked it out. Because there is a blessing on you if you make some effort, if you make some move to advance yourself, to increase your knowledge, what seems normal, what seems ordinary, God will blow on it. And I believe that will happen to you in the name of Jesus. So we can get wisdom from books, from websites, from blogs, from library. Let me say a little bit about library. If there is a library close to your house, that be their friend. Go in there. Even if you don't have a library card, I know some people will start getting into deal, I don't have a library. There's no fine to read the books there. There are so many resources. When I first came to the United States and I entered the library, you know, based on, because I grew up in Nigeria, and if you enter library there, it's the books that are not relevant that you meet there. So I saw books. I was like, what? I was surprised. And I saw all kinds of books, learn about this, learn about that, learn about this, learn about that. And these are things that many people will not touch.
Somebody has, you know, in a very funny way said something which I don't think is true, especially concerning you. Say if you want to hide anything for a colored person, he said put it in a book because they won't find it. But you know it's not true for you, right? Can I get an amen?
So we can gain wisdom from books, from websites, and all of that kind of thing. Another area of wisdom, or another place you and I can learn, because our learning will increase our earning, is from people. Have friends. Talk to people about finances. Ask questions. You'll be surprised what people know, even in this church. You'll be surprised. You'll be surprised. Just ask questions. And the other day, I went for this man's stuff, and I just mistakenly started talking to one of our guys in church here. And the things he was saying to me, I said, you will come and speak. I think he will even say something next week. I'll still bring him up. Just because of asking questions. People are resources. People are information. People can help you. If you are in a church like this, leverage community. Most of the people that are rich today is relationships, is people. I've told you before, my first physical real job, I've had some made-up jobs, but the job that somebody employed me for, the first one, was because somebody referred me. And there are many ideas that I've stumbled upon because somebody told me about it. I have invested. I mean, last year, my dad is my investor friend. My dad wants me to invest. The other day he called me and said, I've been calling you. You didn't pick up my call. I said, Daddy, I'm busy, you know. And then he said, there's these shares you need to buy. He tells me that, and I like it. Because last year, there was a time I traveled to Nigeria. All the money I needed to spend around there and all of that, I generated it from just buying and trading stocks. And these are things that I'm not doing myself. It just tells me, buy this one, sell this one, buy this one, sell this. There are people like that around you that can tell you, buy this one, sell this one, or do this, or this is what people are doing. This is how it. So please be interested in knowing. Be interested in learning. Be interested in learning from people, from colleagues, from church members, from even some people that you can find online and you can learn about from. If you have a phone today, if you have an iPhone, you can have podcasts. There are thousands of people that do podcasts about finances, about saving money, about spending money. The other day, I don't know, I met somebody and he told me about this app called Acorn. How many people have heard about it? Acorn. Okay. Acorn is an app that when you sign up for, they can use some money that you can put maybe $110, $220, and they will, based on what you set, your parameters, they can invest the money in stuff for you, and then they will give you feedback of what's going on every so often. And when you start it, whatever amount you start with, maybe the first month you'll feel it. After a while, you won't feel it again. And then the money is growing. I mean, I play with it. And the other day, I needed some cash. And I saw that, I didn't know there was money here. Because money had grown. So, and I learned that not because I knew about it from Adam. I learned it from somebody. So what am I saying this morning? If we want to build this house called us, this house of God, this project of God, we need some planning. And one of our biggest plan, or the plan I want you to first start with, is plan to learn. I need to know more. I need to know more about saving. I need to know more about investing. I need to know more. It is possible for me to be at home and be making money. It is possible. I'm not saying it is easy and fast and quick, but it is possible. Amen? It may take time, but it is possible. Let me close with this. Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 17. Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 17. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, which teaches you to profit. That means there is a learning that leads to profit. You need to be taught to profit, because there are people that are not making profit from their life. But God said, He is your major teacher. There are other teachers, there are books, there are people, but God is saying, I am your teacher who leads you to profit, which leaded you by the way, and telling you this is the way to go. And that's why this morning, I want you to bow down your head. And I want you to ask God that where money is concerned, I want you to teach me. I want you to help me. And you see, what God does sometimes with teaching is that He will lead people to you. He will lead you to people. He will lead you to a book. He will lead you to a resource. But God is able to lead you to profit. He's able to teach you to make profit. I want you to speak to God and say, Father, I this week, I want to be your student. Your student in the school of profit. Your student in the school of doing well financially. In the name of Jesus, you are the one that leads me to profit. Show me areas. Show me places where I can profit to the glory of your name. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Still bowing down your head. I said earlier on in our teaching that there is the person of Christ and there is the principle of Christ. Everything I have said today is a principle of Christ. The principle of learning. Learning. And that will increase your earning. But you see, your learning to increase your earning will be useless if you don't get the person of Christ. So if you are here this morning and you want to say, I want to have a vital relationship, a very vibrant relationship with Christ. If you are here like that this morning, I don't have that kind of relationship and I want to have it. I want to pray with you. If you raise up your hand, I want to pray with you. I want to have a vibrant relationship with the person of Christ in the name of Jesus. Anybody all over this room, I'd like to pray with you. Like to have a vibrant relationship, a relationship that is not just attending church, that is not just saying and doing what I think I should do, but that I have intentionally submitted and confessed to the Lord Jesus. If you are like that this morning, if you raise up your hand, I'll be praying with you. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory. Blessed be your name. Father, we believe that this week you are leading us to profit. You are teaching us to learn, to earn and do better in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying.